This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour of Darren Donick and Chase. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe here with you today. Darren is on vacation this week. Just recapping the big story. Just listen to Mike Vrabel for the last half hour addressing the questions. They've had back-to-back days of no positive tests, but they have not been given the full clearance to get back to the building yet. They're hoping to do so tomorrow. They're hopeful. And, of course, another round of no positive tests would be the key to getting back into the building. So with that in mind, we will monitor that situation. Still nothing from the league on everything that's happened to them, but they're hoping that the game will go on as scheduled against the Bills. We know that the Vanderbilt Commodores next have South Carolina on their slate. That's Saturday at 11 a.m., and it's time for our weekly chat with Derek Mason, the head coach of the Commodores. And Coach, first and foremost, you probably were listening to Mike Vrabel, but I know you can relate to just the uncertainty, the challenges that this virus is for everybody, just waking up in the morning super early and waiting on test results and hoping for the best and then dealing with it, whatever comes your way.
Absolutely. I totally understand, you know, exactly what he's seen and exactly what he's gone through. I mean, it's difficult. It's challenging, but you know, it's something that we're all dealing with right now. As a matter of fact, I just came over from getting my COVID test. So, you know, testing protocols are in full go, guys. You know, you sort of take your test. You know that it's coming back, fairly quickly, and so you just hope everybody gets to the other side, and that's. And it's always the waiting game because it's in between practices, it's coming off of a game, or it's heading into a game. So there's anxiety around testing, but you know what we're all trying to do is just make sure that we can keep everybody safe. And so I mean we're constantly having to talk about all the things that matter, and a lot of that just has to do with like contact.
You know, I would imagine as we go forward, you know, the two things are true. Number one, you get to understand a lot more day in and day out what you have to do to stay safe, but at the same time you have to not get complacent and let your guard drop because maybe you've stayed safe, you've taken so many tests so day after day, but you can't let your guard down at all against this thing.
You really can't. I thought we were moving along, and then all of a sudden it hit us, and it hit us when we had really let our guard down just a little bit. And so now, you know, as an organization, our players, our staff, we're just constantly having to remind each other. And I think the campus is taking some ownership in it, man, but our student athletes are taking a lot of ownership in what they do. I see our guys with their masks up. Guys have gaiters on, all the time. Most of our meetings are done via Zoom. We have some in-person meetings, but just in small groups, and it's going to be that way. We want to get to a place where we can call it normal, but right now it's really not. Now we're still just having to stay on point and constantly remind each other that we've got to be better, and everybody's got to be able to be accountable to one another.
Well, let's talk about your team. You come off of the game against LSU, a good test for you guys. So give us, first of all, your overall thoughts. I know after Texas A&M, you really felt like you had a chance to win the game. You knew it was going to be a challenge with LSU coming off of the loss. But give me first the biggest positive and then maybe the biggest thing to work on as you work forward?
You know, the biggest positive coming out of the, you know, LSU game is understanding that we didn't play our best ball. I mean, like, we truly didn't. But seeing guys like Donovan Kaufman, you know, come alive in the return game, play well defensively. You know, watching our running backs, you know, run the ball, you know, consistently two weeks in a row, it's been something for us to say, okay, there's some pieces here, man, that we know are definitely moving in the right direction. There's been some individual performances, and there's been, you know, like, good things at times. But when I came off the weekend, just looking at where we were, we just have to, you know, man, grab what is. I mean, we have to be, you know, forward focused in the opportunities, man, to really get better in all the little areas. You know, offensively, man, there's a lot there to grab when we talk about the pass game and getting some healthy guys back, like James Bostic, Keon Brooks, you know, Devin Body. Those guys are going to make a difference, you know, like, in what we do depth wise, but just speed wise. And hopefully, man, that jump starts where we really need to go, because we've had, you know, some things happen for us in spots, but not enough consistently. And when I look at us defensively, getting Jalen Mahoney back, will be huge for us. Listen, Jalen, you know, like a week ago, I mean, you saw some on the field, you know, communication, you know, issues that you generally don't see. And, you know, a lot of that just has to do with, you know, young guys or new guys being in and guys getting used to guys and doing it in the speed of the game. But from communication to team tackling to you know, being able to create a consistent pass rush, those are the things that we got to be able to grab. And in special teams, we just have to continue to take those opportunities, man, to put points on the board. Man, we haven't been as good as we want to be, man, but I've got full confidence in where we are, you know, with Pearson Cook. And sometimes, man, you just got to stay the course. So that's where we are right now. It's all about improvement. It's all about grabbing, you know, what there is to grab. Today was a takeoff Tuesday, and I thought these guys took the day and sort of ran with it, because there was a lot of competing going on. You know, you could tell guys had left it behind, and now what we got to do is since we put together a good Tuesday, now move on to a Wednesday.
You know, there's still, it's kind of like last week. I think a lot of us that haven't watched the guys practice, maybe haven't followed all the details of recruiting and how long they've been there, but now we're seeing them on the field. This kid Bresnahan, I know you've known for a while that he's a guy that has flashed, you know, but he's gone through some injury history, and now he's getting a chance, and he looks like he's really going to be a strong player for you at tight end.
Yeah, Ben Bresnahan has got all the tools needed to be a dominant tight end in this conference. He can play in line as a blocking Y. He can play as a flex tight end. He knows how to work the middle of the field. He's a nuanced route runner. I mean, he's one of those guys who you don't care if he's on a safety, you don't care if he's on a corner, you don't care if he's matched up versus a backer. It doesn't matter. He's got the size, speed, and really, you know, football savvy to make some things happen. And you're just starting to see him scratch the surface. He got hurt as a freshman, like you mentioned. He tore his ACL early in his career. Spent last year just trying to find his way, but had a tremendous all season. Is extremely confident right now in the offense, and he's a target, you know, for our quarterback. And we all know in the game of football, tight ends can be quarterback's best friends if they're nuanced, if they understand how to work the middle of the field, and they understand how to get open. And he knows how to do those things.
You know, it's interesting. You have more of a spread look to your offense now, but you still have the tight end a part of it. That seems to be sometimes. In fact, we were talking, I'm trying to think of who we were talking with, but the tight end sometimes is a tough evaluation for the NFL because so many schools aren't really using it very much. I know you've always valued that. So tell me how that comes together, more of a spread look, but still using a tight end.
Well, you know, my tight ends are tough matchups. I mean, you're seeing more tight ends in the NFL, you know, make good money based on their ability to work the middle of the field, to be an inline blocker, and to be a matchup problem, you know, i.e., you know, Kittle, you know, over in San Fran, you see what's happening.
Sure.
With our guy in KC. I think, you know, Zach Ertz in Philadelphia is one of the best, in the league. Tight ends are tough matchups. You know, Gronkowski made it in vogue again. You know, like to be able to have those guys. You know, who can do all three. And I think now, you know, as you've seen offenses, you know, spread. You know, teams like New England or not New England, but Kansas City. You know, they feature Kelce. I mean, and when you watch him, whether he's outside, inside, inline blocker, okay, you always got to know where he is. And you know, Ben is not there yet, but we've got four or five tight ends on this roster with, you know, Justin Ball, you know, being here, Joel DeCourcy. These guys, I mean, are playing now, but you're going to hear their names a lot. We haven't gotten to, like, the full arsenal of being able to utilize the tight end, but it's coming.
We're talking to Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach. He joins us every week at 1 o'clock here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. So you've talked a lot about your offense. Ken Seals, though, is who I want to key in on. Your quarterback, your freshman quarterback, there was no dipping his toe in the water. It was an all-SEC schedule. You knew that this was going to be a tough situation, but how would you say through two games that he's handled it, not just from a statistic standpoint, but his overall poise of running this offense?
He's handled the football no differently than I expected him to. Again, he's mature. He likes practice, and he loves to play. And that's a combination that you want, you know, like from your starting quarterback. So, you know, that part of it is extremely good. I don't think he's really fazed by anything that happens on the field or competing against, you know, any of the teams that we're going to go against. I think, you know, the biggest thing for him now is in growing in the offense, making sure, man, that you take what the defense gives you. Okay. In certain moments, whether we're talking about, you know, red zone situational football and or, just making sure that you're not pressing to make it come to you. There's enough built-ins to this offense to where now as he gets some more of his weapons back and we can truly spread the field and do some things in the run game and work the screen game, then I think, you know, I mean, his opportunities are going to be much more. But he's still got to learn, hey, look, I mean, just take what the defense gives you. Sometimes they're going to give you the home run and sometimes they're going to give you, you know, 2 or 3 yards. Just take what the defense gives you. And he's learning from every opportunity he gets. The first two games have really shown him a lot in terms of where he needs to go. And now, you know, what he's got to do is just make the individual nuance changes to what we're doing in order to help him, you know, help us overall be successful offensively.
I've told you this before, you know, when we had an opportunity to meet your new offensive coordinator, Todd Fitch, that, you know, it, and I know you've said this, it seems like such a fit. And now that he's had the opportunity to work with a young quarterback, you mentioned opening up the offense because you're getting some players back from injury. But I know it's only two games, but do you feel like that now Coach Fitch is starting to maybe get comfortable with his players, they're getting comfortable with him, and now you can truly see what he can do as an offensive coach?
I do. I've got all the, you know, confidence in the world of Coach Fitch, and it's been, you know, been a journey and a little bit of a challenge just to be missing, you know, like some of these weapons, because you know, like when you don't have these guys, you know, the load falls to a couple of guys, and we're not quite at that point where you know it's just about a couple of guys. Every guy brings something different to the table, and so and being able to have, you know, like more cards in your deck, you can you can play a better hand, and I think for him, he knows what he wants to do. But you know, getting Keon Brooks back is going to be great. You know, getting those two wideouts, you know, back is going to be, you know, good, because now what we're going to be able to do is not only stretch you horizontally, but stretch you vertically. And speed matters. In the SEC, when you're trying to, you know, take the top off of a defense and get guys to respect you vertically, okay, it really opens up the horizontal game for both the tight end, okay, man, and some of these wideouts who can work the middle of the field. And we saw Cam get a couple of touches last week in the middle. And again, it's about people. It's about players. Okay, he's built this offense around players, and so you need the full gambit in order to be able to open it up the way you want to. But you know, we're gonna stay at this thing. And there's a lot of football, you know, to be played. A great opportunity versus South Carolina this weekend, and that's sort of where we got to dive into, and sort of, you know, forward focus, in our work on what we need to do this Saturday.
You said last night on the Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher that you're hoping to have a firmer five on the offensive line. I know freshman Bradley Ashmore could factor into that. Are you hoping that he's one of those guys that can give you that set offensive line?
I think so. I mean, we've seen a good number of guys rotate through. Have had a chance to evaluate where they sit, and now it's. Going forward, it's just got to be, that group, of guys. And everybody else can roll in, if there's an injury. But the only way to get anybody comfortable, whether it's your quarterback or even the consistency of what we're doing, up front, is to make sure that those guys are playing together, communicating. It's about team. It's about that group of guys being able to, trust one another. And that only gets built, with reps. And I think the investment of reps – for what we've done so far has really paid off in the run game. But, when you look at where we're sitting in the pass game right now, we need one or two more guys, to just take the job, step up, and let's ride with it. And I think we've got enough tape right now to be able to say what that looks like going forward.
Will Muschamp has been at this for a long time in this conference, and you mentioned South Carolina. Both of you looking for your first victory. What are some things that they're going to bring that will challenge your group, and what are some things where you think you have the advantage?
Yeah, you look at Will's teams are always going to be physical and tough. They work hard not to beat themselves. It's a ball control offense, man, but they got the ability, with Shai Smith and the fifth year quarterback Hill to be able to take the top off. They've got a strong ground game, that features a freshman running back and who's doing a really good job. He's physical. He runs downhill, and they're big up front. So they want to eat the clock, man. They want to beat you up a little bit, offensively and defensively, man. They've got guys at all three levels, whether it's corner, linebacker, and or on the defensive line that are splash players. They can make some plays. So, we're going to have to, play well in special teams. I think special teams could be a difference maker in this ball game. And after showing up some things and really looking at how we want to attack these guys, there's some things in the special teams game that I think we can get after them with. And offensively and defensively, on defense we got to do less better. Okay, we're honed in on the details. It's not about the number of calls you have. It's about the efficiency of calls and how well we can play them. So, just to do your job mantra has got to be able to be first and foremost for the defense. And then offensively, I think getting guys back and being able to get from personnel groups to open sets to tempo to, being able to be physical in the red zone and maybe taking a little air out of the ball in the red zone can really help us. So that's where we sit right now. I think those are the keys to this ball game. And we've got to play complementary football in all three phases.
Well, Coach, we're looking forward to it Saturday at 11. Good luck getting on in that win column, and we'll be watching.
Hey, what helmets you got this week? Those were awesome.
Man, my son, he was so excited. When he saw those helmets, he really had a reaction. It was awesome.
You know what? I'll try to get you a mini helmet when they come out. So,
okay.
Yes.
With that being said, I haven't looked at the uniform drop this week, but, I just want to drop some good football. Uniform will take care of itself. So we'll see what happens. I look forward to seeing people or everybody on Saturday. Let's take care and anchor down.
All right. That is Coach Derek Mason, his team in action Saturday at 11 against South Carolina. When we come back, it'll be Mitch after Mason. Mitch Light from Athlon Sports. We'll talk a little college football with him, and then we will get you caught up on the Mike Vrabel press conference a little later. Meanwhile, Ronald Acuna has done it again, Chase. And the Braves are off to a good start against the Marlins.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A leadoff homer. I don't know how many that is now for him, but he leads it off, and it was a good first inning by Max Fried, mowing him down. I don't think he threw a ball that entire half inning, but the Braves lead 1-0 with a man on and two outs.
Acuna's pretty good. When we come back, we'll talk a little college football. Stay tuned. We're coming back.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like
like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.